Welcome to Mealtime with Marjorie. Let's begin by setting the scene for the arrival of this letter written by Paul, Silas, and Timothy to the Church of Thessalonica. Thessalonica was a seaport city of about 200,000 people. It was prosperous, prominent, and thoroughly pagan. As a well-known seaport, it was located along major trade routes, so merchants arrived by ships and by land, entering the city to buy and sell their wares. Thessalonica first heard the gospel on Paul's second missionary journey. Paul and Silas came from Philippi, where they had just been beaten and thrown into prison for casting an evil spirit out of a slave girl. Her master was angry because she no longer had the occult powers that were providing him with an income. When they arrived at Thessalonica, Paul preached first at the synagogue. Some Jewish people believed. Many Greeks and women believed. These people and others became the church to whom this letter of encouragement was written. Some people did not appreciate the gospel message being preached in Thessalonica. They started riots, and Paul had to leave the city. The persecution of Christ followers continued after he was gone. Paul was concerned about the new Christians in Thessalonica, so he sent Timothy to check on them. Timothy returned with good news. It was then that this letter was written. Let's read it together. Bon appetit, my friends. Thanks for joining me. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2 in the Simplified Living Bible text. Paul remembers his friends. Verse 1. You know, dear brothers, how helpful that visit was. You know how badly we were treated at Philippi just before we came. You know how much we suffered there. Yet God gave us the courage to boldly repeat the same message to you. We did this even though we were surrounded by enemies. We were not preaching to trick you or with evil reasons in mind, for we speak as messengers from God, trusted by Him to tell the truth. We don't change His message so that those who hear will like it. We serve God alone. He knows our heart's deepest thoughts. Never once did we try to win you with flattery. You know we weren't pretending to be your friends so you would give us money. God knows this is true. As for praise, we have never asked for it from you or anyone else. As apostles of Christ, we did have a right to some honor from you, but we were as gentle among you as a mother caring for her children. We loved you dearly, and we gave you not only God's message, but our own lives too. Don't you remember, dear brothers, how hard we worked among you? Night and day we toiled and sweated to earn enough to live on. That way we would not be a burden to anyone there. That is how we preached God's good news among you. You and God are our witnesses. We have been pure and honest toward every one of you. We talked to you as a father to his own children. We begged of you, encouraged you, and even demanded of you. We didn't want your daily lives to make God ashamed. We wanted you to bring joy to Him. Why? Because He invited you into His kingdom to share His glory. We will never stop thanking God, for when we preached, you didn't think the words we spoke were our own. You accepted what we said as the very word of God. It was God's word, and it changed your lives when you believed it. Then, dear brothers, you suffered like the churches in Judea. You were hurt by your own people. The same thing happened to them. They suffered from their own people, the Jews. The Jews killed their own prophets. They even killed the Lord Jesus. Now they have hurt us and driven us out. They are against both God and man. They try to keep us from preaching to the Gentiles. They are afraid some might be saved. So their sins continue to grow. But God's anger has caught up with them at last. Brothers, we were away from you for a little while, but our hearts never left you. We tried hard to come back to see you once more. We wanted very much to come. I, Paul, tried again and again, but Satan stopped us. What do we live for? What gives us hope and joy? What is our proud reward and crown? It is you, when we stand together before our Lord Jesus Christ, for you are our trophy and joy. That concludes 1 Thessalonians 2 in the Simplified Living Bible. Scripture quoted from the Simplified Living Bible, copyright 1990, used by permission of Tyndale House Publishers, Incorporated, all rights reserved. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2 in the New Living Translation. Paul remembers his visit. Verse 1. You yourselves know, dear brothers and sisters, that our visit to you was not a failure. You know how badly we had been treated at Philippi just before we came to you, and how much we suffered there. Yet our God gave us the courage to declare his good news to you boldly, in spite of great opposition. So you can see we were not preaching with any deceit or impure motives or trickery. For we speak as messengers approved by God to be entrusted with the good news. Our purpose is to please God, not people. He alone examines the motives of our hearts. Never once did we try to win you with flattery, as you well know. And God is our witness that we were not pretending to be your friends just to get your money. As for human praise, we never sought it from you or anyone else. As apostles of Christ, we certainly had a right to make some demands of you, but instead we were like children among you, or we were like a mother feeding and caring for her own children. We loved you so much that we shared with you not only God's good news, but our own lives too. Don't you remember, dear brothers and sisters, how hard we worked among you? Night and day we toiled to earn a living so that we would not be a burden to any of you as we preached God's good news to you. You yourselves are our witnesses, and so is God, that we were devout and honest and faultless toward all of you believers. And you know that we treated each of you as a father treats his own children. We pleaded with you, encouraged you, and urged you to live your lives in a way that God would consider worthy. For he called you to share in his kingdom and glory. Therefore, we never stop thanking God that when you received his message from us, you didn't think of our words as mere human ideas. You accepted what we said as the very word of God, which of course it is. And this word continues to work in you who believe. And then, dear brothers and sisters, you suffered persecution from your own countrymen. In this way, you imitated the believers in God's churches in Judea, who, because of their belief in Christ Jesus, suffered from their own people, the Jews. For some of the Jews killed the prophets, and some even killed the Lord Jesus. Now they have persecuted us, too. They fail to please God and work against all humanity as they try to keep us from preaching the good news of salvation to the Gentiles. By doing this, they continue to pile up their sins, but the anger of God has caught up with them at last. Timothy's good report about the church. Verse 17. Dear brothers and sisters, after we were separated from you for a little while, though our hearts never left you, we tried very hard to come back because of our intense longing to see you again. We wanted very much to come to you, and I, Paul, tried again and again, but Satan prevented us. After all, what gives us hope and joy? And what will be our proud reward and crown as we stand before our Lord Jesus when he returns? It is you. Yes, you are our pride and joy. That concludes the reading of 1 Thessalonians chapter 2 in the New Living Translation. Scripture quoted from the Holy Bible, New Living Translation, copyright 2015, by Tyndale House Foundation. Used by permission of Tyndale House Publishers, Incorporated. All rights reserved. 1 Thessalonians 2 in the English Standard Version. Paul's ministry to the Thessalonians. Verse 1. For you yourselves know, brothers, that our coming to you was not in vain. But though we had already suffered and been shamefully treated in Philippi, as you know, we had boldness in our God to declare to you the gospel of God in the midst of much conflict. For our appeal does not spring from error or impurity or any attempt to deceive, but just as we have been approved by God to be entrusted with the gospel, so we speak, not to please man, but to please God who tests our hearts. For we never came with words of flattery, as you know, nor with a pretext for greed, God is witness. Nor did we seek glory from people, whether from you or from others, though we could have made demands as apostles of Christ. But we were gentle among you, like a nursing mother taking care of her own children. So, being affectionately desirous of you, we were ready to share with you not only the gospel of God, but also our own selves, because you had become very dear to us. For you remember, brothers, our labor and toil. We worked night and day that we might not be a burden to any of you while we proclaim to you the gospel of God. You are witnesses, and God also, how holy and righteous and blameless was our conduct toward you believers. For you know how, like a father with his children, we exhorted each one of you and encouraged you and charged you to walk in a manner worthy of God, who calls you into his own kingdom and glory. And we also thank God constantly for this, that when you received the word of God, which you heard from us, you accepted it, not as the word of men, but as what it really is, the word of God, which is at work in you believers. For you, brothers, became imitators of the churches of God in Christ Jesus that are in Judea. For you suffered the same things from your own countrymen as they did from the Jews, who killed both the Lord Jesus and the prophets, and drove us out, and displeased God and opposed all mankind by hindering us from speaking to the Gentiles, that they might be saved, so as always to fill up the measure of their sins. But wrath has come upon them at last. Paul's longing to see them again, verse 17. But since we were torn away from you, brothers, for a short time, in person, not in heart, we endeavored the more eagerly and with great desire to see you face to face, because we wanted to come to you, I, Paul, again and again, but Satan hindered us. For what is our hope or joy or crown of boasting before our Lord Jesus at his coming? Is it not you? For you are our glory and joy. That concludes 1 Thessalonians 2 in the English Standard Version. Scripture quotations are from the ESV Bible, the Holy Bible English Standard Version, copyright 2001 by Crossway, a publishing ministry of Good News Publishers, used by permission, all rights reserved. 1 Thessalonians 2, New American Standard Bible, Paul's Ministry, verse 1. For you yourselves know, brothers and sisters, that our reception among you was not in vain, but after we had already suffered and been treated abusively in Philippi, as you know, we had the boldness in our God to speak to you the gospel of God amid much opposition. For our exhortation does not come from error or impurity or by way of deceit, But just as we have been approved by God to be entrusted with the gospel, so we speak, not intending to please people, but to please God, who examines our hearts. For we never came with flattering speech, as you know, nor with a pretext for greed. God is our witness. Nor did we seek honor from people, either from you or from others, though we could have asserted our authority as apostles of Christ. But we proved to be gentle among you, as a nursing mother tenderly cares for her own children. In the same way, we had a fond affection for you and were delighted to share with you not only the gospel of God, but also our own lives, because you had become very dear to us. For you recall, brothers and sisters, our labor and hardship. It was by working night and day, so as not to be a burden to any of you, that we proclaim to you the gospel of God. You are witnesses, and so is God, of how devoutly and rightly and blamelessly we behave toward you believers. Just as you know how we were exhorting and encouraging and imploring each one of you as a father would his own children, so that you would walk in a manner worthy of the God who calls you into his own kingdom and glory. For this reason, we also constantly thank God that when you received the word of God, which you heard from us, you accepted it not as the word of mere men, but as what it really is, the Word of God, which also is at work in you who believe. For you, brothers and sisters, became imitators of the churches of God in Christ Jesus that are in Judea, for you also endured the same sufferings at the hands of your own countrymen, even as they did from the Jews, who both killed the Lord Jesus and the prophets, and drove us out. They are not pleasing to God, but hostile to all people, hindering us from speaking to the Gentiles so that they may be saved, with the result that they always reach the limit of their sins, but wrath has come upon them fully. But we, brothers and sisters, having been orphaned from you by absence for a short while, in person, not in spirit, were all the more eager with great desire to see your face, for we wanted to come to you. I, Paul, more than once, and Satan hindered us. For who is our hope, or joy, or crown of pride in the presence of our Lord Jesus at his coming? Or is it not indeed you? For you are our glory and joy. That concludes 1 Thessalonians 2 in the New American Standard Bible. Scripture quoted from the New American Standard Bible, copyright 2020 by the Lachman Foundation. Used by permission, all rights reserved. This portion of the letter to the church in Thessalonica is a defense to accusations that were circulating about the missionaries, Paul and Silas. As was mentioned in the scriptures we just read, when the believers heard the gospel message, they accepted it as what it really is, the Word of God, and it changed their lives. However, the gospel message was not well received by the general population. There were some who were spreading slander and lies about the missionaries. In this letter, those lies were addressed one by one. The letter begins with a reminder that the visit by the missionaries was helpful, fruitful, not in vain. If there's any question about their motivation for preaching in Thessalonica, they're asked to consider this. Just prior to their visit, they had been in Philippi, where they had suffered terribly for presenting the gospel message. It was God who gave them the courage to boldly repeat the same message in Thessalonica, even though they were again surrounded by enemies. They were not preaching to trick people or with any evil motive. They were not motivated by greed. In fact, They worked long and tiring days to be able to support themselves while they were preaching God's good news. They were not trying to flatter people or twist the truth to get people to like them. They were not asking for praise or accolades from anyone. Instead, they came as messengers of God. They spoke the truth, the very words of God. They were devout, honest, and faultless toward all of the believers. They loved the believers dearly, caring for them as a mother cares for her children. They look forward to seeing them again face to face and standing together with them before our Lord Jesus Christ. The declaration of love and endearment and longing that are expressed in this letter warm my soul. For example, in verse 17, I'll quote, "Dear brothers and sisters, after we were separated from you for a little while, though our hearts never left you, we tried very hard to come back because of our intense longing to see you again." That is so tender. It should not surprise me, because Scripture says in John 13, they will know we are Christians by our love. And in 1 John 4, we're reminded that God is love. Love is from God. Anyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. 1 Thessalonians 3:12 says, "May the Lord make your love grow and overflow to each other, and may you love everyone else just as we love you." The note in the Simplified Living Bible says, "The Lord helps our love grow so that it spills over to other people." May your heart be opened to receive the great love God has for you. May it fill you up and spill over to those around you. I love you, my friend. Have a blessed day.